Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, this evening, they're going to be the views of Johanna Michelson, who's been our guest a number of times before, but tonight we're going to be talking about so much of what's going on within Christendom, within our society itself, as people, many of them, turn away from the traditional practice of Christianity towards wanting to experience Christianity, towards a form of Christian mysticism, rejected, of course, 2,000 years ago, but now suddenly reappearing within the Christian church. And Johanna, for the background, for those of you who don't know her story, was when she was born, she had the ability to really be aware of supernatural forces. She had the traits of a medium, and this is something that had existed within her family. And so as she grew up, of course, it was, I'm sure, quite unusual to be able to anticipate the future and events. And then, of course, she had opportunity to become associated with a spiritual healer, a psychic surgeon in Mexico, and she was actually being trained to succeed this woman as a psychic surgeon. And then, of course, she came into a personal relationship with our Lord and had to renounce this gift or curse of being a medium, but she's certainly been on the front lines of what's going on in Christianity ever since then. And so we've asked her to come on to discuss her views of what's taking place today as we see new and strange movements sweeping throughout not only the secular society, but even the Christian society and Christian organizations. Johanna, thank you very much for being with us.
Pleasure to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you just sort of pick up and take off from there?
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, as you mentioned in your very kind introduction, from the time I was very young, I've been aware of the fact that there is the actual existence of another dimension, of another plane of being, which, in my case, when I was a child, and I know it's the case of many people listening to us, didn't much care what I had to think about anything. It broke in uninvited, at least as far as I was concerned, and spent a lot of years tormenting and making my life extraordinarily painful and difficult on many levels. It's not easy being an 11-and-a-half-year-old little girl knowing that these beings are speaking to you and communicating and that you have no control over them. And it's a heartbreaking thing for me to see, Dr. Stan, how so many people today, with a complete, either a deliberate ignorance or a deliberate non-caring about what is actually behind these sources, have flocked and opened the door to seducing spirits, to doctrines of demons, and they're embracing it, and have been for a long time, but now on a scale we've never seen before, I believe, in recorded history, certainly not since the 58 or so years I've been alive, on an unprecedented scale, we're seeing now a fascination and a flocking toward occultism and mediumship and spiritism and things that, when we still had in this society a biblical basis, at least a guideline from Scripture, an acknowledgement that maybe there was an objective source of truth against which to test our belief.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, Johanna Michelson. And Johanna is saying that there is an absolute source of truth, and that is in the Bible. And yet, That is being rejected. People are looking for other sources of truth, alternative means of coming to know the truth about the world. And pick the story up there, please.
They are, Dr. Stan, and actually it shouldn't catch those of us who still take the Bible seriously off guard. And I think that it would be a good idea to put into a biblical context, because that is the only context from which I can begin to discuss these things, what is happening in the world today. And no less authority than Jesus Christ himself told us in Matthew 24, in verse 4, in verse 11, and in verse 24 and 25, when he was asked, Dr. Stan, by his disciples, but, you know, Lord, what are the signs of the end of the age, and what is it that we look for your coming? And Jesus said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. I believe that word many, Dr. Stan, and I know that there are a number of other researchers and authors who are certainly beginning to say the same thing, that when it talks about many, it's not talking back in the days of kind of the good old days of the David Koresh and the Jim Jones, where they stood up and said, I am Christ, follow me, or of the yogis who are saying, I am Christ incarnate, the avatar, follow me. When it talks now about many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, that word in the Greek is polos, which is referring to a vast multitude. And what we're seeing now is not just a few people believing that they are the Christ, personified by perhaps Shirley MacLaine a number of decades ago, who was standing on the shores of the Pacific Ocean with her arms outstretched, saying, I am God, and making sort of a laughing stock of herself. Now nobody's laughing, because you've got people from Oprah Winfrey to Jack Canfield to Neil Donald Walsh pretty much telling you the same thing, teachings that have been coming through on an unprecedented scale. Then in verse 11, Jesus warns us as well in Matthew 24. He said, not only will there be false Christs coming in my name and deceiving many, there will be false prophets who will arise and will mislead many. Dr. Stan, you and I have been looking at this for a long time, and we are seeing now on, again, an unprecedented scale, a flood of false prophets who are standing up saying, this now is the truth that has been
revealed
by God.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Johanna's saying pretty that there are so many false prophets out there now who are misleading the multitudes here in America. We've never seen anything like it. We've never seen the mass turning away from Christianity in the United States, and certainly, you know, I've been around for, almost 80 years now, and this is an entirely different world that I was raised in. There is this a change in people's attitude, and so many people may consider themselves spiritual, and they may even consider themselves nominal Christians, but the Christ that they worship is not the Christ of the Bible, and they're following false leaders. And Johanna was simply referring to, you know, Shirley MacLaine standing on the beach, you know, in her classic movie Out on a Limb, with her arms outstretched, saying, I am God. And yet, although we thought she was crazy at that time, now we're finding that Oprah Winfrey and Jack Canfield and Neil Donald Walsh and so many of the prominent leaders, people that are looked up to by society, are putting out really a very, very similar message that each of us can become God ourselves or can become Christ. You pick up the story, Johanna.
Exactly right. And then, Dr. Stan, in case we didn't get it the first two times that Jesus said it, in Matthew 24, he says it a third time. Now, you know, if Jesus says it once, pay attention. Twice, you better listen. When he tells you three times, you ignore it at your peril. He says, then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, don't believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, were it possible, and by the way, in the Greek, it is, even if for a short while, even the elect. That's the people who are the true sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Stan, the elect, those who have been called by the Lord God to be sons and daughters of his through faith in Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to be called children of God. Even the elect, even godly pastors, even godly men and women sincerely seeking the Lord are being swept in by these doctrines of demons. And we're seeing it in the contemplative prayer movement, but we've been seeing it long before that through the word of faith and the seed faith and these other things that are mimicking and actually, in a sense, have laid the foundation in the church for these doctrines of demons to take hold on many levels. So the Lord says, behold, I've told you in advance, heads up, eyes open, because the deception is now here. You know, those of us who have been watching this, Dr. Stan, I think we're particularly concerned with the advent of something highly promoted by Oprah Winfrey. And God bless Oprah Winfrey. I've been on her program. She's a lovely lady, very caring, genuinely charismatic and warm and embracing. And I know that from the 49 million viewers a week that she has, there are many in the midst who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Oprah can do no wrong. So when Oprah brings on Jonathan Edwards, for example, as she did earlier this year, a psychic medium who goes and communicates with the spirits and receives information, or when she brings on a Marianne Williamson promoting the demon-dictated Course in Miracles, which was also promoted in Crystal Cathedral, we'll talk about that in a minute, or when she brings on The Secret, Rhonda Burns, The Secret, and exclaims with passion and enthusiasm and a tremor in her voice that captured the heart of millions, not just in this country, but around the world who watch her program, and said, Rhonda Byrne now has presented to us the secret. And this is what I've been living all my life. It's not really a secret. I didn't know it was called a secret, but I've been doing this for ages. And you know what? She's right. The principles of this so-called new secret have been around for thousands of years. But what now is of profound concern is that you've got people of the stature and the reputation of an Oprah Winfrey having a pulpit, and she views her show actually as her personal ministry, having a pulpit now to disseminate the teachings of demons. Now, why do I say these are teachings of demons? Look, when she was talking there about the secret, what we're really looking at now, most of you who, and I know, a lot of people have come up to me and said, hey, you know, I've got, my friends are coming up and saying, hey, you've got to watch this great thing because it's the new revelation from God. And when they're coming up and telling us that, what do we say? The thing is, what they don't realize is that the secret was actually now the second edition of the movie. The movie was released in the fall, actually earlier than the fall. The book was released in the fall of 2006. But the movie itself was a full-fledged feature film that was released first in Australia. It didn't do too well there, by the way. Australians, I guess, are either a little smarter or a little more cautious than we tend to be in this country. And it didn't do well there, but boy, it's going gangbusters here. But the edition you're seeing now and the edition that Oprah was talking about with the men and women featured on her program, not once, but twice, when she did a two-part special on The Secret, that was actually version number two.
Joanna, are you there? Joanna, are you there? Well, I think we're... Joanna, are you
yes,
there?
Yes, Dr. Stan, I am here. We
go right ahead.
Cut off. Do we have a bad connection? Because I'm hearing a lot of cackling, and I don't know if that's something that's disturbing our audience as well.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't I have my producer call you right back again? There's a little bit of cackling there, so...
All right.
I'm going to have you...
And I guarantee you it's not me. I am not the Wicked Witch of the West, so the cackling you hear is definitely not from my end.
All right, fine. Well, you hang on, and we're going to just go ahead and connect again, because I really want you to hear what Johanna has to say, and the cackling isn't bad, but anything we can do to get a better connection. What Johanna is saying is really so true. There really is another dimension, and we have millions of Americans who are being taken into that other dimension unknowingly, and then certainly being led there, because here is an opportunity to have a more full life and certainly to get away from the old-fashioned dogma of the church. But, of course, the problem is, of course, this is they're being led into a form of mysticism. And, of course, it's been around for 5,000 years. And, of course, it's been condemned by anybody who ever knew about it, because you're the God that you're reaching is not the God of the Bible. The God that's being reached, of course, is the other God. And Christians certainly are offended because we believe there is only one God, and that is my belief as well. But there are literally millions of people who believe that the God we worship is the wrong one, and they are in touch with the real God. Well, we've got Johanna back here, and so you pick the story right up there.
So when Oprah interviewed that famous panel there, featuring Jack Canfield, of course, of the famed Chicken Soup for the Soul series. He's written Chicken Soup for everything from hangnails to toe fungus. I don't think there isn't anything he hasn't covered there for his Chicken Soup series. And two women on there, Lisa Nichols and another lady who had been invited on, who are also co-authors of his in the Chicken Soup series, Marcy Shimoff, who co-authored Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul and Chicken Soup for the Mother's Soul, and Lisa Nichols, who did Chicken Soup for the African-American Soul. And when he had on Bob Proctor there, who is an extremely well-known motivational speaker in for entrepreneurs in network marketing, and some number of these other people that he's had on, John Gray of the famed Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Keep in mind that the addition of the secret they were talking about was not the first one. They left out the most important individuals to have input into the secret, apart from the long since deceased Prentice Mulford and the other founders of the New Age and New Thought, actually, in some ways, yes, the New Age. But she actually made up for that. What happened was the first edition was very much tied around the participation of a medium, a channeler, a psychic, an occultist. Nice lady. Her name is Esther Hicks. Her husband's name is Jerry. And for about 25 or thereabouts years, they have been the vehicles for the presence and the communication of a being called Abraham. No, not that Abraham, for those of you who are thinking in terms of scriptural Abraham. This Abraham calls itself a group of, obvious to whom is unclear, evolved teachers speaking their broader non-physical perspective through the physical body of Esther Hicks.
Now, basically, these are demons that are channeling through Esther?
Well, yeah, actually, biblically, Abraham is really not the name he should be ascribing to themselves. The more appropriate name, I think, would be from Luke chapter 8, verse 29 through 31, where when the Lord confronted the demoniac, the Gadarene, and said, "What is your name?" the beings, these highly obviously evolved teachers speaking their broader non-physical perspective through the physical body of the Gadarene, said, "I am Legion, for we are many." And they have actually, I think with tongue-in-cheek, described themselves as being a multitude.
And there really are these spirit beings out there. They're, of course, coming from the other dimension. And, of course, by Esther Hicks, who was in the first version of The Secret, and really upon the law of attraction is based, and the law of attraction is the very essence of The Secret. In fact, Esther and her husband wrote a book called The Law of Attraction. You can get it at your local occult bookstore. We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead, Johanna.
So Esther and Jerry Hicks were actually among the and their teachings on the law of attraction, which they had been teaching really now for 20, 25 years, through the presence of Abraham, were actually integral in the formation and in the direction of Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. The problem is they all had a big falling out. Rhonda evidently had the bad grace to edit out Esther Hicks's face from the first version. Esther took a dim view of that, and despite the fact their contract stated that she was to get 10% of everything, they wound up in a big squabble, which even Jack Canfield, with all of his positive input, couldn't resolve. And so they agreed to part ways, and even though Esther and Jerry Hicks' lawyer had said, hey, go ahead and sue, they said, no, we don't sue. We've got more important, higher things to focus on. Well, they didn't have much to complain about. They'd made about $500,000 on these teachings of Abraham in the first video anyway, which I think you can still get for about $100 and some bucks on Amazon. But it was interesting that even though she was kind of obliquely and in passing kind of tucked into the acknowledgments of Rhonda Byrne's The Secret, the book that came out in the fall of 06, she was pretty well edited out, and Abraham along with her, Esther Hicks, that is. But then Oprah decided, you know, fair is fair, and she did a radio interview with Esther Hicks and Abraham on April 5th of this last year. On her radio show, she said, because, well, first of all, why I wanted to do this on the radio, she said, is because I really do think the TV audience isn't ready for it, which I thought was kind of an odd statement and perhaps not altogether accurate. She had just had on, not too long before, Jonathan Edwards, the medium, who was communicating and doing his performances and his cold readings pretty much for people, claiming that it was the spirits of the dead giving him the information. So why she thinks that her TV audience wouldn't be ready for it was peculiar. But she said, you know, she kept saying, I know they're going to think this is a weird thing, and maybe it is, but, and finally, Esther said, look, it's not that weird. I'm just going to relax, quiet my mind, focus on the breathing. And Oprah was saying apprehensively, oh, are you going to change? I guess, you know, she's speaking for her audience here. And Esther said, no, I'll look the same. My eyes will dilate, and that's about the only thing that's different. But then you'll be talking to Abraham. And so, sure enough, Abraham came. And basically, he was informing people that what Esther had said the week before and what Abraham had been talking about the week before, evidently in another program, because Oprah said, tell me again what you said last week, that it's a vibrational field. Esther was explaining that Abraham offers a vibration. You guys who are from the hippie movement, you know, the vibrations that we always talked about, well, the demons are talking very much in those terms. They always have been, and they still are. And she talks about the spirits offering a vibration that she tunes into easily because she's been doing it for so long. So Abraham comes, and she said, yes, call me Abraham, call her Esther Ham. And she said something very interesting. Abraham said something interesting. He said, look, you keep...
I want you to hold that for just a moment, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan and our guest, Johanna Michelson. Johanna is talking about a program that Oprah Winfrey put onto her radio program, not her television program, because she said she didn't think her television audience was ready to hear this. But Oprah Winfrey interviewed Esther Hicks. Now, Esther Hicks was really the inspiration for Rhonda Byrne's film, The Secret, and for the DVD that they made. In fact, in the first version of the DVD, why, Esther Hicks was the voice and certainly apparently had a great deal to do with that. Esther Hicks is a channeler, and she channels a being named Abraham. And so certainly when invited to go on to the Oprah Winfrey radio program, not the television program, but on the radio program, Esther first goes into a trance or whatever it would be, and suddenly Oprah is speaking to Abraham. And so, basically, does Does the voice change when Abraham takes over Esther Hicks's body there on Oprah's program?
Only very subtly, Dr. Stan. There is a slight change, a rounder tone, a bit of an accent. But Esther explains it by saying initially when she was first receiving the vibrational transmissions from Abraham, it was very stilted and her voice sounded very peculiar. But over doing this the last 20 or so years, she's come to really integrate very easily with Abraham. And I saw the same thing with the medium with whom I worked in Mexico City, Dr. Sten. Pachita was one of the extraordinary psychics of her time, and I think probably of all times, according to many parapsychologists and researchers who actually took the trouble to go down there and interview her and watch the spirit at work. And she had a very natural integration with the spirit who claimed to be the spirit of the deceased Aztec prince, Hermanito Cuauhtémoc, who in order to fulfill his karma was coming back to guide and to lead people into a more aware path and to perform the healings and help purge his karma from all of the nasty implications of the things that he had done in previous lives. So there can sometimes be a very smooth integration, and you only know it's a being there by the fact that the tone is different, the eyes are dilated. In Pachita's case, she often wore just practically blacked out glasses, and you couldn't even see her eyes. So that people wouldn't be freaked out by it. And that's what Esther was saying. And then Oprah took advantage of having Abraham here to ask some very serious questions, because on the TV program, you know, as they were presenting the law of attraction, which is basically the secret. What is the secret? Which, by the way, means occult. A joke in today's day and age, because it hasn't been occult for a long time. You can find out about every single esoteric metaphysical secret just by clicking on the internet. But what is the secret? It's the law of attraction. That every vibrational thought you put out into the universe is responded to and answered. And what you're doing, said Lisa Nichols, it's like you're looking at a restaurant menu. Or you've got a catalog in front of you, said Joe Vitale, where you picture what you want, you send and visualize and direct your energy to this thing, and the universe will gladly and cheerfully and obligingly, like the genie in the magic lamp, move heaven and earth, literally, to answer your wish, to give you your command. And so they are presenting this now as the key thing. But there's a bit of a hitch to it, because it isn't just the positive things that you send out, the wanting your beautiful new BMW or your dream house or what Jan Canfield bragged about, his $4 million dream house and his wife to die for, and all of the money and fame and acclamation that he could possibly want. All of the teachers who are part of this project were giving eloquent and profound and moving testimonies of having drawn to themselves by putting out these vibrations into the universe and using the law of attraction, bringing to themselves what they wanted. But there's a real bad catch to it. It isn't just the good stuff that comes to you. If you send out bad vibrations, you will attract that as well. And Oprah had some profound questions to ask on that subject, which we'll get to in a moment when we come back.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment or two with Johanna Michelson. And of course, we're talking about The Secret, Rhonda Byrne's a DVD, Rhonda Byrne's book. I mean, millions of these have sold, not only here in the United States, throughout the world. The book and the DVD have had a profound influence on contemporary society. And most people really don't understand what indeed is going on. We'll be back in just a moment with Johanna as we pick up these ideas and try to put them into a biblical perspective. Well, Johanna, you go right ahead with that.
So Oprah took advantage of the presence of Abraham, this conglomerate of obviously wise and enlightened beings, to ask some very difficult and painful questions, which, by the way, a lot of thinking people who are looking at this law of attraction are bound to have. If you're saying that anything and everything that you feel, that you think, and feelings are the key thing, it isn't just what you're thinking, it's the emotions attached to the thinking which create this vibrational level and energy that goes out into the cosmos and therefore touches the great universe who then obliges you with what you want. It also is saying that it brings the bad things. And Oprah said this. We're saying, and here you're asking, she said, that you're telling me that everything that is happening for a reason. And Abraham says, well, yes, we're saying that, but in a different way. Everything happens for a reason sounds like it's a little outside the reason that's been assigned. We say that everything is happening because of the vibration offering that you are setting forth. Everything that is coming to anyone is coming in response to what they've been thinking about. As you think a thought, it activates the vibration, and you send more energy to that, and the vibration becomes stronger until eventually you call it belief, and that's just a thought you keep thinking. So she says, once you've activated a vibration enough and it's dominant, then the law of attraction matches it with what you want. And then Oprah said, but look, here you're saying we've sent out these vibrational offerings. She says, you mean even if we're 4 years old? Because that's a good question. What about the little children, the innocents, who are taken off and butchered and slaughtered? And listen to what Abraham, this wise being, says. He says, oh, even if you're 1 year old, even if you're in your mother's womb. In other words, even if you're 1 year old and you're sexually abused or murdered, or in your mother's womb and your mother decides to abort you, it is your fault. On some level, you drew this and attracted it to yourself. And Oprah said, look, hey, this is where we get hung up here, because I don't understand. And I'm sure many listening don't understand how an innocent child attracts being raped. An innocent child attracts being abused. An innocent child attracts being kidnapped and butchered. And then Abraham...
Hold that thought, if we'll be back here in just a moment with Johanna Michelson. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Johanna was just describing the interchange between Oprah Winfrey and Abraham, as it was channeled through Esther Hicks, and certainly the whole concept as Abraham, this demonic spirit, or this spirit who had possessed Edith Hicks' body, said, you know, everything is vibration, and when you have a thought, it becomes a vibration, and you attract to yourself the good things that you think about through vibrations, or the bad things. And then the issue was raised about a child being aborted. Well, the child had the thought of being destroyed, and so that was why the mother aborted it. And the child, of course, was thinking about being raped, and that's how the child is raped. And even Oprah Winfrey is having difficulty really putting this all together, making any sense out of it. So you pick the story up there, because I think it's so important. I wish that everybody had an opportunity to see the exchange between Oprah Winfrey and, of course, his spirit. This spirit from the other dimension, but of course we didn't have a chance to see it because it was on radio and not on television. But
right.
Please pick the story up.
Well, you know, actually here, Abraham clarifies Oprah's thinking, because she's saying, look, if you're only four, or if you're a year old or in your womb, what kind of language and thoughts exactly are we sending out here that says, oh, I think I'd like to be raped and butchered? But here Abraham, clever devil, clarifies for us. He says, oh, the first assumption that makes it hard for you to come around to understanding is the assumption that in order to create, you must have language, that you must have speaking. So if a child isn't speaking, they must not be attracting. He said, nothing can be further from the truth. He said, look, oh, humans, what is happening is you're attracting as your animals do. Even though they don't have a language and they're communicating in a very powerful way vibrationally, nevertheless, then after they discover that they've got some control over their own thoughts, then they can start molding and modifying. And he says, really, if there's a responsibility of each parent or mentor, it would be to teach a child that they have guidance within. And here's another key concept we'll be talking about as we go along in the next hour. He says, if they're listening to the guidance, if this child in the womb, or the one-year-old or the four-year-old, are listening to the guidance within, they couldn't comfortably ever settle on thoughts that they would attract something unwanted. Now, let me correlate this to you with something that came out many years ago, Dr. Stan. I've got a copy of it in my files, but I documented it in my second book, Like Lambs to the Slaughter, on page 301. It's a document, a little pamphlet that was being put out, a booklet, actually. The writings and the wise communications from these great ascended beings. And the publication was called Spirit Speaks. And actually, it is probably one of the most horrifying and disgusting examples of the logical conclusion of the theory of reincarnation that comes out of this outfit. You know, here you Shirley MacLaine, I am God, and believing she's the reincarnation of all kinds of beings, and that because people have had horrible things happen to them, they've attracted it. You remember in her film that you alluded to, when she was standing looking over the cliff in Peru, and she sees the remnants of a bus lying there and is told 30-some human souls perished in this terrible disaster. And then she's told by her guide when she gets home and by the channeler with whom she was consulting, oh, don't be too upset about that. They drew and attracted this to themselves. And so here Seth speaks, Spirit speaks, in their edition that they called Kids and Karma. Now listen to this, Dr. Stan, and people, if you aren't horrified by the logical conclusions of the belief in the law of attraction or the belief in reincarnation, which, by the way, Oprah also is the believer in herself, listen to what these wise ascended masters and beings had to say on the question of selecting life paths and parents. The spirit solely says you choose your parents. You choose the time and place of your birth. Children have always chosen their parents. No matter how terrible society might view the experience with its of a child with its parents, even in the case of so-called child abuse, the child chose. It is by agreement. Most think the children are these poor little innocent beings that come into earth, a new soul to experience life. Nothing could be further from the truth, my friends, says this ascended being. Then, on the subject of incest and child abuse, solely, the spirit says, what is causing child abuse and incest right now, is the belief in society that it's happening. People, that is the law of attraction. The reason that you were raped as a child, the reason these little ones have been murdered, and we hear about them in rashes. I shudder sometimes to turn the news on at night to hear which innocent has now been stolen and raped and murdered and buried alive by the latest pervert. And we're being told by these wise beings who claim to be the universe, who claim to be all wisdom, who claim to be divine incarnate beings now moved on to another plane to give us information. These things are telling us the reason there's child abuse and incest is because we believe as a society it's happening. Listen to the rest of this if you can bear it. First and foremost, if a child has reached the age of puberty and the child is capable of sexual union with pleasure, then, hey, what's your problem? Sex and sexual union is a communication. Whether between male and male, female and female, and female, it doesn't matter. It's communication. What? You'd think NAMBLA put this out. Communication brings more understanding of your oneness with life, it says. However, the right idea of that communication with respect. Right, the rape of a two-year-old with respect, I guess, is what the spirit is telling us. If there's respect between father and daughter, mother and son, and they're all at an age of able to enjoy a sexual union, then from our perspective, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Now, I've got to tell you, people, I don't know about you, but I've got a real problem with these wise, ascended beings of great wisdom who come back through these duped and well-intentioned, well-meaning, I'm not saying they're nice, not nice people. I was a nice person when I was a channeler and a medium. Pachita, the medium with whom I worked, was the most genuinely loving, gracious, tender-hearted, kind human being I ever met. She would put most Christians I've met, Dr. Stan, to open shame. With her devotion and her heart for sacrifice and self-sacrifice, something that, by the way, is also anathema to the purveyors of the secret. They don't believe in self-sacrifice because that doesn't feel good. Whatever feels good to you is what you need to focus on, says Rhonda Byrne in her little demonic manual that is probably the slickest and most brilliantly packaged bit of... Dr. Stan, I can't say it on the air, but my audience knows what I mean.
But anyway, it is very, very clever and beautifully packaged, and it's but unfortunately, it is having a tremendous influence in misleading people away from the truth.
Well, that is exactly right, Dr. Stan. And the thing is, it's filled with this, and people, because we have such a desperate hunger in society, because there are such desperate unhappy people. In fact, one, I guess, semi-cynical editor, I guess, of Publishers Weekly, as I recall, I think her name was Sarah Nelson. Yeah, here it is. Sarah Nelson said, boy, nobody ever went broke overestimating the desperate unhappiness of the American public. And I will tell you, Dr. Stan, because the American public, and many of them with genuine needs, you know, society has trouble paying its bills. People have trouble keeping control on their finances. People are desperate for love and happiness. You see it everywhere. And yet, we are so eager to have somebody pander to our good side, pander and tell us, oh, you're not evil. There's nothing wrong with you. There is no good. There is no evil. It's all in your imagination. It's all in your thinking. And here's how we will help you correct your thinking. And here now, because of many legitimate needs, people who need healing, people who are desperately lonely, they have opened up their minds and their hearts and their spirits to doctrines of demons rather than saying, you know what, maybe there's a book, a source that claims to have absolute truth, which has the answers to my needs. A God, a living God, not a genie in the bottle to whom I issue my command and who says, your bidding is my command and I will do what you wish, but a God who says, I love you, listen to me, obey me, come to me, and I will take care of you in accordance with my will, and sometimes, yes, allowing you to go through difficult things, but not because I don't love you, but because I do. And, you know, one of the things I think that has been most disturbing, Dr. Stan, as you look at this ancient secret, she claims by implication to have biblical authority and biblical backing and approval for her teaching. And she actually has the temerity on page 54 of this little manual to quote some scriptures. And some people actually were upset because she was on page 54 and she hadn't mentioned the name Jesus once. Well, at least she had the good grace not to stick Jesus' name in there too blatantly, because frankly, it would have added to the blasphemy and the heresy and the vile doctrines of demons that are being spouted. But she quotes a couple of verses to support this law of attraction that says, ask, believe, receive. And that is the secret. First you ask, and here you'll really kind of get a chuckle out of it, because the first thing they say under ask is, extend and issue your command to the universe. Well, so much for asking. If you're commanding, you're not asking, at least last time I looked at the definition of it. Asking and commanding are two different things. But they quote Matthew 21 that says, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And then they quote Mark chapter 11, 24, what things soever, and they're wise enough to use King James so that it sounds holier than anybody else's thou, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And this, the justification scripturally that they use for the law of attraction, of ask and then believe and then receive, make a command to the universe, is the furthest thing from the biblical admonition to whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And I think that one of the saddest things is an awful lot of Christians haven't bothered to look at the context either, because in case some of you maybe started to feel a little uncomfortable that this whole law of attraction was sounding very much like the word of faith and the seed faith and the power of positive thinking and the all of those positive mental name it and claim it, grab it and blab it teachers who are out there all over the television waves saying, if you will but send me $70 for 70 weeks, then God will guarantee that he will look after and protect your children from terrorist attack. I actually heard one fraud on television spouting that with great earnestness looking into the TV camera while telling little grandmas, if your children come under attack, then it's because you, grandma, did not pay your tithe to God and you didn't issue now the asking in prayer and believing because you won't send me your seed faith. You wouldn't believe, well, yes, you would. You've been watching heretics and perverts for a long time out there. And yet, look at the context of what the passage says. If you look at Mark 11, verse 24, let's start with that one briefly and see if really they've got a leg to stand on as far as the context of what they're talking about. In Mark 11:24, that they say, therefore I say to you, all things which you ask, which you pray and ask, believe you receive them, and they will be granted. What is the context here? The next verse says, whatever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you don't forgive, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you. But take it even further back in context to verse 22, where Jesus said to them, have faith in God. That's the beginning context, not issue a command to this amorphous universe, and we'll talk about the final secret in the next hour, Dr. Stan, of who this God really is, because that's the ultimate kicker for those who take Scripture seriously. But here Jesus is saying, not just say whatever you desire and believe, taking faith out of a biblical context, faith in God and in his sovereign love to provide, as the Father provides for the sparrows and for the fields which he covers with the lilies of the field, and a God who says to us, oh, ye of little faith, if God so provides for the fields and feeds the sparrows, what makes you think he's not going to provide for you when you trust him? The context of whatsoever you ask and believe, it's have faith in God. And then if you're looking to God with the faith even of a mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain of unbelief, to this mountain of unforgiveness in the context of the passage, be removed from me, be cast into the sea, and it will happen. Why? Because you've had faith in your faith? Because you've sent out a vibrational level into the universe, which now the genie must answer your wishes, my command? Or because you're coming to a sovereign living God who says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. A God who says, have faith in God. A God who says, trust me and I will provide. Not try to manipulate me into giving you what I know isn't right for you. How would you like it if your children sit there and don't think, at the beginning of this book, The Secret, Rhonda Byrne, with great emotion and passion, talks about how wonderful and how moving it is that once they started putting this video out and people were watching it and bringing their children to watch it, hey, the little guys caught it right away. You just ask and you believe and you get it. Okay, let's watch these little kids put this into practice. A little child wants a motorcycle. He's watched his papa, and he's watched his friends, who are 15 years older and a whole lot dumber, ride their motorcycles. And so he's seeing it and he's speaking it, and guess what? In the video, there you have a little child bringing this bike that he was sending his energy to into existence. But did he manage to bring with it the teaching that, hey, you should wear a helmet when you get on that bike? And what if he'd been too young? And what if nobody has taught him about being careful about riding this thing? What about what if he really, really wants is a nice 45 Colt? Do they make 45 Colts? You know what I'm saying. Right. A big shotgun. And he's going to manifest this into existence because he's sending the vibration into the universe. People, when you come to God believing in him and ask him, if he says no, then you can trust that it's for a good reason.
Well, you hold that thought right there for a moment. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Joanna, you've got about 3 minutes to wrap up this segment of the program, and then we'll go into the next one, so go right ahead.
The segment really needs to hear at the end this, Dr. Stan, is that there is a living God who has communicated and loved us, not a force, not a genie that we manipulate at will, because we are one with the universe, and essence we are God, which we will speak about later. There is a personal living God who has much to say about who he is and who we are in relationship to him. And this living God has prohibited and commanded us not to traffic with demons. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, he says to us, when they say to you, now, and you walk into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to follow after the abominable practices of those nations. And right in there with child sacrifice, and divination and spiritism, he includes mediumship and trafficking with the dead, necromancy. Why? Because God is trying to hold out on us. He's trying to keep us from communication that will bless us and make us fulfilled and happy and full of God's joy. No, people of God. God said, do not consult the mediums and the spiritists and the wizards who chirp and mutter. Should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living, he says in Isaiah 8, to the law and the testimony? If these demons, if those false prophets who are purveying and giving them a body to work with, are not speaking according to this word, which word, people? The word of the living God, who says, ask me of things to come. Look to me. I will look after you and provide for you. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no dawn, and I don't care how many times they pat themselves on the back and how many times they appear on Oprah or on Larry King or on any of the other programs and inform you how exalted and wonderful they are. They have no dawn in them. Do not listen to those who come to you with beautiful, deadly, demonic teachings to lure you in to a dependency on something other than the living God who calls you into personal relationship, not with a force, not with a genie you can manipulate, but with a living God who created and stands separate from, who is transcendent from his creation. It's like the pot that has been made by the Creator, by this wonderful potter, suddenly looking at itself in the mirror and admiring itself and saying, my, aren't I beautiful? I am the potter. I've got to suggest to you that for the pot to say it is the potter...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
...is to make it a crackpot.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joanna's simply pointing out that the idea that we, and any by means by ourselves can perfect ourselves is just so foolish. We're totally dependent upon God. And the last thing we want to do is listen to any of these people who will tell us that there are alternative means by which we can accomplish these things on our own. Now, of course, if you'd like to have the full two-hour program, we will be doing another hour here. And, of course, I know many of you, specifically up in the state of Washington, will not hear the second hour. You can always give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, That's 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get the 2 hours, because I'm sure the second hour will be equally informative and very, very important to understanding the true nature of the battle in which we are engaged today, because really we're involved not in a political battle or an ideological battle or in a cultural battle, but involved in a spiritual battle. And most Christians really do not understand the nature either of the battle or of our enemy. Well, this is the moment I just need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there and would like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then I want to remind you that we will be having our yearly conference. That's the Radio Liberty Annual Seminar. It'll be on the 28th of October. It'll be on a Sunday because we found that many people were unable to come on Saturday. So it'll be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, as it has been in the past. It's a lovely area to visit, and if you're coming from a distance, why, we will have rooms set aside. And, of course, we'll be serving lunch, so you'll need a reservation. And if you want the rooms, you'll need the reservation, too. And if you simply call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927, why, we'll certainly be in touch with you. Now, we do carry, of course, Johanna's wonderful book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. That's The Beautiful Side of Evil. We carry her book, Like Lambs to the Slaughter. That was the second book she wrote, and then we have a four-tape set that features Johanna called The Supernatural. And people really need to understand that there is a supernatural dimension out there. We live in, of course, in one dimension, but the people who are mediums and fortune tellers and diviners and water witches and water diviners, certainly the witches, the other people who are in touch with the beings from the other dimension. They're not imaginary, they're real. You do not, under any circumstances, want to become obsessed or fascinated with that. In fact, the only thing that you and I personally can do is put our faith in the Lord and study God's Word and understand that this is our only protection. But these other forces are there. They're operating not only here, but throughout the rest of the world. When I was in Africa, there was a great emphasis on witchcraft. In fact, as a white doctor practicing in Africa, I always used to like to say that most of my patients went to the witch doctor before they went to the white doctor. We had a referral practice from the witch doctors, but so many of the people there are deeply involved in the occult, which is, well, it's one reason why they're justified in calling Africa the Dark Continent. In fact, in most parts of the world, why, the spiritual forces are at work. They've only been prominent here in America as the American people have turned away from God. And that, of course, is the real problem we have today. Well, anyway, just hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival and for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection, because we are currently on the front lines of this great, great battle that's being waged for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And for the second hour, our guest again is Johanna Michelson, and we're going to continue with her discussion of the secret and of this occult movement, which is sweeping across America and leading so many good people, even people within the church, away from the teachings of our scriptures and our Lord. Johanna, just pick the story up there.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, I think that if it weren't for the fact that people like Oprah Winfrey and Neil Donald Walsh and Jack Canfield are standing behind these doctrines of demons and these teachings by this demonic perspective here that's been presented as a great ancient secret, or actually a new secret, which isn't new at all. It ties back to ancient occultism as her use of the phrase, actually this is kind of interesting, as above, all so below, at the beginning of her book. You'll see that in her opening there. She's actually given probably more of a giveaway to those who are looking for it than she might have intended, because that statement, as above, so below, as within, so without, that is one of the ancient foundations of all witchcraft, Gnosticism, occultism. It goes back, some say, 3,000 years to Hermes Trismegistus, who is supposed to be, or supposed to have been, a contemporary of Abraham. That's still up for grabs, but certainly he was the primary character in the Hermetic documents, some of which were found with the Nag Hammadi, Gnostic Gospels, actually, when they dug that up in the town of Nag Hammadi. And it basically is teaching the ancient mystical religions, the ancient foundations for witchcraft, and it ties in with the belief that all is one. We have a seamless reality. It's called monism. All is one. God is all and in all. It's pantheism. It's panentheism in many ways. And it's basically saying that God has forgotten himself, scattered himself, and whatever is happening above in heaven is mirrored below on earth. Whatever is happening below on earth is mirrored above in the heavens, in the other dimension. And it's the basis of all occultism. But this basic teaching that one is all, and the doctrine that God is in all, is the sum total of everything exists, all things animate and inanimate, including the earth, humans, manifestation, God, suffering, evil, and change are all aspects of God, as much as the ultimate good in everything, denies any personality related to God, and it's basically a synonym for metaphysics, which has been brought into the church now in many ways through the contemplative prayer movement. It's teaching you that basically God is a force. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that as we go along. But it's amazing that the people that she's had on her stage and the people that were drawn in by Rhonda Byrne to support, and the great avatars and masters and metaphysicians and persons of great wisdom that she drew in, have been deeply involved in these teachings. Let me name one of them for you. We could talk about all of them, but let me just discuss one in particular, and that is Jack Canfield of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series.
All right, fine. Will you hang on to that topic? We'll be back here in just a moment as we begin to explore more and more the background of Rhonda Byrne's The Secret, which is really a phenomenon, a cultural modern phenomenon that is changing the perspective, that changing the belief system of literally millions of unsuspecting Americans. Go right ahead, Johanna.
Jack Canfield, I know our listeners must surely all be familiar with Jack. He's the author of the million bookseller, more than that, I don't know how many millions of books he sold, Chicken Soup for the Soul series, and as we started out at the last hour, he wrote everything from chicken soup from hangnails to toe fungus, as far as I can see, and still at it, hasn't stopped. And basically, He's actually, even now, if you can believe it, come out with a chicken soup Bible, which I've got sitting here on my desk here in front of me, and that's a piece of work and a half. Why am I upset that Jack Canfield, this nice man, this good man, I'm sure I would like him immensely. Well, maybe he wouldn't like me too much. I've actually had some run-ins with him back when he was part of the California Task Force for Self-Esteem. It was promoted by Assemblyman John Vasconcellos back in the, 1985, 86. They had a whole convention there meeting for a number of years, debating with a big panel as about how to bring self-esteem and these wonderful good feelings about yourself that Jack Canfield was very much behind with his self-esteem seminars into the school classrooms. So I've been watching Jack Canfield for a very long time and began attending these self-esteem seminars because I happen to know what Jack Canfield was really talking about bringing into the classroom, and it wasn't just helping kids feel good about themselves, regardless of performance. Right now, we've got a whole generation of kids who may feel really good about themselves, but they can't read and they can't fill out a basic application for McDonald's. So why they feel good about themselves on that scale coming out of our educational system is an infinite mystery to some of us. But Jack Canfield wrote an article that was published in what was then called New Age Magazine in February of 1978. He's been at it for a long time, people. And he wrote this article with a co-author named Paula Klimek. It's called Education in the New Age. And he was talking about how in a growing number of classrooms throughout the world, education was beginning to move into a new dimension. Moved into that new dimension. We're saturated with it. More and more teachers are exposing children to ways of contacting their inner wisdom and their higher selves. Now, what's this inner wisdom and their higher self? You'll hear the Secret talking about that. You'll hear Neil Donald Walsh and Oprah Winfrey and all of these New Age teachers talking about contacting your higher self. Basically, according to Shakti Gawain and other well-known, popular, best-selling occultists and purveyors of...
I'm going to have to interrupt you right there. We'll be right back in a moment here. Well, this is Archer Stan, and Johanna is talking about Jack Canfield, who was involved with the classes they were putting on in California, sort of self-esteem classes. The whole idea that certainly within our classrooms all across America, our young people are being told that they must have self-esteem. And we have kids that have got more self-esteem than just about any other young people in the world. The trouble is why they really can't read. They can't write. They can't fill out an application for a job. And, in fact, all you need to do is listen to Jay Leno when he does his jaywalking and listen to how many of these young people can't even express an idea. I don't know how many saw the beauty queen. I think she was Miss South Carolina, interviewed certainly on television. And she was asked a simple question. Her thought process, as she was trying to answer that question, smiling very sweetly, was so ridiculous that nobody could figure out what she was saying. This is unfortunately what's happened to so many of you young people. They got great self-esteem, but no common sense or ability to think. Well, go ahead, pick up the story, Johanna.
Yeah, and Jack Canfield was busy trying to help them all feel really good about themselves, and was using ancient occultic techniques and technologies from yoga to guided imagery visualization, which I don't care that Carl Jung introduced it to Agnes Sanford and Morton Kelsey, who then turned it around and turned it into the inner healing movement with the Sanfords, and then it moved from there into a good portion of the church. I don't care that these people were promoting it. First of all, these things are occultic to the core. Carl Jung, by the way, was, for good reason, known as the occult prophet there because the guy was a haunted man, literally. He had spirit guides. Philemon was one of them who would come and give him great information about what the subconscious theories had to be. But here bringing in, under the guise of the latest educational psychology, known as transpersonal psychology, they brought in all of these techniques of hardcore core ancient Hindu, Buddhist, shamanistic, Wiccan, which is witchcraft, fastest growing religion on a lot of school campuses today, by the way, parents, technologies and techniques, including introducing kids to their higher self or their wise person. And it was something that was unnerving to me. And when I confronted them and said, look, I appreciate you guys are trying to do something good for mankind and kids in general here. However, in a situation and in an atmosphere where biblical Christianity is banned from the campuses, where any mention of Jesus Christ, unless, of course, it is in the context of a blasphemy or a curse, is banned from the classrooms and from public arena, and you can't even say a prayer at graduation, honoring and recognizing that God is the one who helped you through, and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, without running the risk of getting sued by the ACLU. Why is it, Assemblyman Vasconcelos, why is it, Jack Canfield, that you are now using this excuse of building self-esteem to introduce the children of parents who maybe don't want their kids to be Hindus, Buddhists, shamans, and neo-pagans, to the technologies that are going to guarantee they become exactly that? They had no answer for me on that one and weren't particularly happy with me after that, may I say. But, you know, he has long acknowledged and openly spoken when he feels he's not being critiqued overly directly or too closely about what his real affiliations are. I have a copy here, Dr. Stan, of the self-esteem seminars that he was bringing into the Roland Unified School District. This was in 1984, as a matter of fact. I went to one of his teacher's training seminars on this, and the people that he recommends will chill you to the bone, Dr. Stan. Recommending people, for example, like Jane Roberts and Seth. Now, who on earth is Jane Roberts? So many of our audience wouldn't know who she is anymore. But Jane Roberts was one of the early channelers. It's a matter of fact, Ed and Lorraine Hicks came across her material, and that was part of what introduced them and began a fascination with them to want to do the same thing. Hence, they started finding themselves in contact with Abraham. She was channeling a being called Seth. Jane Roberts' books are in the recommended reading. Richard Bach with his Jonathan Livingston Seagull, where he was basically teaching everybody that you don't die, there is no death, you just keep getting reincarnated and recycled, moving to higher and higher planes of existence with all the other bird brains, like that seagull that he was talking about, Jonathan, moving to higher levels. Who else was he promoting? Oh my, let's see. Here on page 13, he's promoting David Spangler. Okay, who's David Spangler? David Spangler is one of the top philosophers and writers of the New Age. He wrote, among other books, called The Reflections of the Christ in 1978. And on page 44, 45 of this book that is being recommended to teachers in the Roland Unified School District as far back as 1984, we see David Spangler recommended. So what? Well, see how you like this. He calls Lucifer a great being. He speaks of the true light of Lucifer and says, quote, as we move into a new age, which is the age of man's wholeness, each of us is in some way brought to that point, which I term the Luciferic initiation. And he absolutely, uncategorically, unqualifiedly, and unashamedly says, oh yes, Lucifer is known as, unfortunately, Satan in the Bible. But, gee, really, Lucifer is coming to give us the final gift of wholeness. Lucifer comes to make us aware of our power within, to draw to ourselves, here's the key word, Dr. Stan, experience. To draw to our, listen to this again, I'm going to read it again. In Reflections on the Christ, David Spangler, recommended by Jack Canfield, and I will tell you in a moment who else recommends him, he, Lucifer, comes to make us aware of our power within, to draw ourselves to experience. He comes to make us aware of the power of creative manifestation which we wield. Are those terms starting to sound familiar to any of you who might have been engrossed in The Secret or who might be engrossed in the contemplative prayer movement or who might have been listening to the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it teachers who are still going strong today on the pulpits of churches that have transparent walls, among other places. They're using the same terminology. And let me tell you who else recommends David Spangler while we're at it. This man is named Leonard Sweet. He's one of the leaders of the emerging church movement. If you haven't heard about it, people, heads up, because you're going to be. Leonard Sweet is one of the foremost thinkers of the emerging church, and he's written, among other books, too. One I have in my hand was highly recommended by the author of The Purpose-Driven Church, Rick Warren, who says, whether you like it or not, the future's here, and you've got to sit up and hunker instead of hunkering in a bunker. Listen to this great man, because he's telling us about a strategic moment in history. I'm paraphrasing. I've got the book in my hand. But what is it that Leonard Sweet does? Leonard Sweet, among promoting every single form of occultism and telling us it's only the narrow-minded fuddy-duddies who are saying thou shalt not, because we all know that God didn't do that, and we should all be engaging in ESP and parapsychology and these paranormal things. He also, among his footnotes and in thanking just about every heretic and blasphemer within recent memory, including Matthew Fox, including Marilyn Ferguson, including a whole bunch of others, he thanks profoundly David Spangler. Well, only when the paranormal and the spiritual combine in ways that foster ethical and philosophical development of the highest order, as metaphysician author David Spangler puts it, will the differences be illuminated between psychism and mysticism, information and insight, knowledge and wisdom, self-development and service. David Spangler, who was talking about a Luciferic initiation, quoted very favorably, and then you can see buried in the footnotes in the back there, I think it's footnote number 86 from one of his chapters, where he talks about his personal correspondence with David Spangler, and then his books are promoted not only by Brian McLaren, but by Rick Warren, among numerous others. What are we coming to, people? Here we're talking Luciferic initiations, but this man is sitting there writing chicken soup for the soul Bibles, and Christians are buying it. I have seen these blasphemous perversions sitting in, quote, Christian bookstores, which now it's kind of a joke to even call them that. They have fallen so far from their original call and their original intent. But you see it in thing after verse, after book, after article, over and over and over again, teaching you the techniques of guided imagery visualization, for example, brought in by Agnes Sanford, taught to her by Carl Jung, the famed psychologist, the haunted seer. The techniques then being picked up by the inner healing movement, among others, with Agnes Sanford, whose works are still promoted, talking about, oh, if you need me, just call to me on a vibrational level, and my spirit will respond. Vibrational level, is that term kind of catching your eye here? Ear, we're not on TV. On the vibrational level, and my spirit will respond and come and minister to you on that level. Her works, by the way, are highly praised because she was a mentor of Richard Foster, who is teaching us the same things in the first edition of Celebration of Discipline. People, these ancient doctrines of demons, these ancient demonic teachings that are leading us to what Spangler has called a Luciferic initiation, are already introduced into the church. And people are embracing it with a whole heart, thinking it is the teaching of the living God, the new revelation of Jesus, to help us move into the great wisdom that God has for us in these days.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Johanna Michelson. Well, Johanna, you go right ahead.
Well, there's another person who was sitting there on the stage of Oprah's set, and this man has actually sold millions of books, been on the New York Times bestseller list. Sweet-looking man. He looks like a teddy bear. You just want to go up there and cuddle him. Yes, you do. Came out with a movie on his book. It didn't do too well, but oh well, he'd come out several years ago with another movie called What the Bleep Do We Know, in which he, very much like Rhonda Byrne, quotes, totally out of context, by the way, some quantum physicists trying to prove the fact that all of these interconnections and that all is one and one is all, and because we are all one, we are all a part of God, is something that needs to be listened to. A lot of those quantum physicists are pretty annoyed by the way he's taken that out of context. But Neil Donald Walsh is one in a long string of unhappy, dissatisfied individuals, four failed marriages, frustrated, unhappy, miserable, and one day he sits down and he's crabby and he's going to write a letter to God. And he picks up his yellow pad and he begins to pour out his frustrations and he says, "What have I done to deserve such a life and this continuing struggle?" And to my surprise, as he scribbles out his last bitter, unanswerable questions, he says, and was ready to toss his pen aside, his hand remained poised over the paper, as if held there by some invisible force, he says. And abruptly, the pen began moving on its own, and he didn't have any idea what he was about to write, but an idea seemed to be coming, so he decided to go with the flow, and out came, "Do you really want answers to all these questions, or are you just venting?" "Ooh," he said, kind of like Helen Schuckman said, when this atheistic Jewish woman who didn't believe in God, never mind Jesus, and she suddenly gets a message from a being that identifies itself as Jesus. It says, "This is a Course in Miracles, take it down." Yes, the same Course in Miracles promoted by Marianne Williamson sitting on the stage of Oprah Winfrey. The same Course in Miracles promoted by Wayne Dyer. You can hear him all over PBS. In the Tao of his new revelations and his new books, which he spent getting and gaining. Oh, by the way, Wayne Dyer, since I just happened to mention his name, also wrote the foreword for Ask and It Is Given by Esther and Jerry Hicks. Would you like to see what he has to say about these spirit beings? Wayne Dyer, promoted and touted and used to raise all kinds of money for PBS. He says, "You're in direct conscious contact," he says, in the foreword to Esther and Lorraine Hicks' book. "You're in direct conscious contact with a cadre of honest, no-nonsense beings who have only your well-being in mind." Yeah, right. "They'll remind you that you came from a source of well-being and that you can either summon that higher vibrational energy to yourself and allow it to flow unimpeded into every aspect of your life, or you can resist it," ooh, kind of like I am right now, "and by doing so, stay disconnected," ooh, there's a horrible thought, "from all that which is providing, all providing and all loving." Wayne Dyer, this much respected, mega book selling, he sold millions of books, telling us that unless we are willing to give in and listen to these wise beings, this source of all our well-being, this source, which is Abraham, that we are cutting ourselves off and being disconnected from the all-providing and the all-loving.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Johanna is simply talking about all of these prominent authors who are trying to introduce us to the other dimension, the other forces out there that can bring us happiness. And so pick the story up there, Johanna.
So, here's Neil Donald Walsh sitting there, and what on earth is he doing there? Well, he wound up penning what now are three volumes, and he's written some more besides that, including manuals to go with the first one. And these purport to be conversations with God. I'm sure many in our audience have listened to this. In fact, many of them probably even have the book, because there are people, and I've listened to them even in Christian circles, who feel that this is the new revelation now. And that this someone that he's communicating with, who refers to himself as that which is all things, his God, he is now the greatest thing. And this God is simply, you know, it's like Abraham with Esther and Jerry Hicks. Neil Donald Walsh is channeling a demon that is calling himself Abraham. I've got some documentation here from some poor channeler who was contacting Yahweh. And in fact, I've got a friend whose family is caught up into a Yahweh cult. The demon says that he is the Yahweh who created all things. Well, somehow somebody forgot to tell God because he still thinks he did, and he's not saying the same thing these guys are saying. But he says all kinds of things, including, for example, nothing occurs in your life, nothing which is not first a thought. Thoughts are like magnets drawing effects to you. He says things like, I'll explain to you now the ultimate mystery, your exact and true relationship to me. You are my body. As your body is to your mind and soul, so too you are to my mind and soul. Therefore, everything I experience through you. I am God as you know and understand him. I am Goddess as you know and comprehend her. I am the conceiver and the creator of everything you know and experience. You are my children, even as I am the child of another. Ooh, sounds like Mormon theology there. But I am Goddess, as you know, and comprehender. Ooh, that sounds like Suman Kidd, whose books are endorsed by David Jeremiah, who started out as a good fundamentalist Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher until somebody gave her a book by Thomas Merton. And she suddenly found herself on a new path, practicing the techniques of guided imagery visualization and contemplative prayer and breath prayer and saying the same word over and over and over and over until she reached an altered state. And it opened her up to what David Spangler talks about, the experience that Lucifer wants to bring to her. And now she has experienced what is it these people are experiencing? They're experiencing the fact, and I use that in huge quotes, that they are God. That monistic lie, all is one, one is all, as above, so below, as below, so above. Some Christian writers critiquing, actually, The Secret made a very good point and a very accurate point in many ways, pointing out that nobody uses the term as above, so below accidentally. It's a statement and the basis of all metaphysics, of all occultism, of all witchcraft, of all shamanism. Nobody stumbles into using that phrase, as above, so below. Then, unfortunately, in a brilliant display of either complete and total unawareness, which is possible, they may not know, or unbelievable manipulation, I prefer to think the first, they don't know, they then quote Eugene Peterson, and in essence call him a prophet for referring in one of the verses to The Secret in his blasphemous so-called interpretation, translation of Scripture.
But you're talking about, that's the man who wrote The Message.
That's the man right. Who wrote The Message, which is promoted by Rick Warren, which is promoted by the Emerging Church and the Contemplative Prayer Movement, and there this phrase, as above, so below, at the beginning of Rhonda Byrne's book, the basis of all occultism, is sitting there smack in the middle, you want to know, of what? Try the Lord's Prayer. Instead of, my will be done, no, that's not what it says. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Eugene Peterson translates it with the same words. As above, so below. Is this a coincidence? Is this a mistake?
No, I really don't think so. I think that, unfortunately, many of these people know exactly what they're doing. And the fact that Rick Warren would endorse The Message, which has nothing to do with the Bible, it follows the course of it, but it is certainly not God's word at all. And so many of the things in The Message are simply strongly occultic. And yet, of course, this is being used by Christians all across America. And why? Because it's popularized by Rick Warren. Of course, who embraces many of these or endorses many of these occult teachers. We'll be back in just a moment with Johanna Michelson. Well, Johanna, you go right ahead now.
Really what it's tying down to, Dr. Sten, is that, and we could talk for hours about how these things have come in, what it's coming down to now is the preparation of the world for the acceptance of the one whom the Bible reveals as the son of perdition, the one spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we're warned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that man of lawlessness is coming, the son of destruction who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. There was a time, and you and I have lived long enough, Dr. Stan, to remember it, where anybody who stood up on the side of the Pacific Ocean, I don't care how nifty and cute an actress she may be, or anybody else for that matter, who said, I am God, was generally locked up next door to the man who thought he was a poached egg or Napoleon. Now, you've got millions claiming that they are God, claiming that God is a force, that God is a genie, that God is in all and everyone in everything. Neil Donald Walsh's God tells them that. There is only one message, says Walsh's God, that can change the course of human history forever, end the torture, and bring you back to God. That message is the new gospel. We are all one. Tony Campolo teaches that. In his new book, The God of Intimacy in Action, he echoes the old Quaker teaching of Richard Foster and many in the contemplative prayer movement, that God is in all of us, that we are all one with God, and that as you look at the eyes of the murderer who slaughtered little Jessica Lunsford, that as you inject him with the lethal dose that's going to send him to his just reward, how can a Christian do that and look in his eyes when he knows he's seeing the eyes of Jesus through him? What we are seeing now, Dr. Stan, through the beginning of New Thought, through the teachings of the demons, through bringing in the whole word of faith and seed faith and positive power of positive thinking through Norman Vincent Peale, who, by the way, denied the virgin birth, among a whole bunch of other things, and used the techniques of witchcraft, then infecting it through Napoleon Hill, who, by the way, had spirit guides and got most of his teachings on creating wealth from the demons who wanted to purvey it and purport and promote it, and then picked up by Clement Stone, who, by the way, was the mentor of Jack Canfield's. And then moving from there to the name it and claim it, Norman Vincent Peale touching Robert Schuller, who has openly stated in Unity Village of Lee Summit, Missouri, where he was a frequent speaker, that, hey...
Hold that thought for just a moment, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Chris Johanna is simply pointing out that how these new ideas have infected every aspect of the church and many of our leaders, whether it be Norman Vincent Peale or certainly even Robert Schuller, who certainly is a disciple of this whole new movement that goes along with name it and claim it and self-esteem. But you were talking about Robert Schuller. Would you like to pick the story up there?
Well, Robert Schuller, who, by the way, also continued what he said in Unity at Lee Summit, Missouri, Unity Cult, part of the New Thought, which is part of the thank yous that Rhonda Byrne includes there. The old prophets and avatars she mentions were all tied into the so-called New Thought, the thinking that there is only one universe, only one force. What we think, good or bad, sends out vibrations, and that is what we draw to ourselves. All her, quote, great new secret was taught by demons long before that, picked up by the teachers of New Thought, who then used the techniques of mesmer in hypnosis, which was used then to cure Mary Baker Eddy, who then founded Christian Science. All of these things weaving in, Dr. Stan, so that now we are at a new generation, young people who are desperate for experience, who don't care what is being taught, who don't care what the source of the experience is, who don't care whether it's Buddhist or Hindu or Wiccan or shamanistic or pagan or neo-pagan or Satanist, some of them for that matter, as long as they have that experience that Lucifer has promised them. And so what is happening is they are opening themselves up using ancient, occult, mystical, out of mystery religion techniques to have an experience. And they are saying, hey, it's the intent. We don't intend to worship demon gods or to put ourselves in contact with Rhonda Byrne's spirits or with Esther Hicks' Abraham or with Neil Donald Walsh's God or with D. David Spangler's Lucifer, who's come, we seek to honor God. But let me suggest to you what Warren Smith has said in his brilliant books, Reinventing Jesus Christ, which you can get, by the way, you can download that on the web, reinventingjesuschrist.com.
We actually carry the book, so you can get
it. I am so pleased you do, Dr. Stan. It is important, his book on Deceived on Purpose. Analyzing, by the way, not with glee, not with joy at mentioning names. Boy, I'll tell you, if you want to talk about the unforgivable sin in the church today, is say that Kenneth Copeland or Hagen or Fred Price or Agnes Sanford or Morton Kelsey or Leonard Sweet or Brian McLaren or et cetera are bringing, or Henry Nguyen or Thomas Merton are bringing in teachings that are dangerous, that are in stark contradiction to the teaching of God. Henry Nguyen among them, making unbelievably outrageous statements in his last book on page 51, on his final book that he wrote, saying he now believes it's his mission to help all people come to God in the way they see fit for themselves. They don't need to know Jesus Christ. Tony Campolo echoes the same thing. Basically saying, we are God. And there was a time when you heard that very openly on the pulpits of TBN and the other big churches. I saw a big to-do with Kenneth Copeland and Paul Crouch, may God bless them. But there they were, pounding the pulpit, saying, you are God. See, John chapter says, then Jesus said, you are gods. That settles it. We are gods. Not understanding that Jesus wasn't commending people for their personal divinity, which is one of the inherent, intrinsic, basic, foundational teachings of the word of faith and the name it and claim it people, where time after time after time they will say to you, God had little gods, just like says Earl Polk, dogs had puppies, cats have kittens, so God had little gods. Until we comprehend we are little gods and begin to act like little gods, we cannot manifest the kingdom of God. Satan Unmasked, page 96 and 97. Kenneth Copeland saying, and I quote, and you impart humanity into a child that's born of you, because you are a human. You have imparted the nature of humanity into that born child. God is God. He is a spirit. He imparted in you when you were born again. Peter said it just as plain. He said, we are partakers of the divine nature. Scripture twisting, you think, just as bad as Rhonda Burns in The Secret. That nature, says Copeland, is alive, eternal, in absolute perfection. And that was imparted, injected into your spirit man. And you have that imparted into you by God. You're getting bored with all this gobbledygook. Just the same as you imparted that into your child, the nature of humanity. Listen to this. That child wasn't born a whale. It was born a human. Well, now, you don't have a human, do you? No, you are one. You don't have a God in you. You are one. Robert Schuller, Peace of Mind Through Possibility Thinking, page 131, 132. The most effective mantras employ the M word. You can get the feel of it by repeating the words, I am, many times over. People, these are people who claim to be leaders and pastors and ministers and men of God. And Scott Peck, who says on page 269, 270 of The Road Less Traveled, for no matter how much we may like to pussyfoot around it, all of us who postulate a loving God and really think about it eventually come to a single terrifying idea. God wants us to become himself or herself or itself. We are growing toward godhood. God is the goal of evolution. Thomas Merton, who during a conference on contemplative prayer, the question was put to him, how can we best help people to attain union with God. Union with God. How about receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you shall be saved? Oh no, his answer was very clear. We must tell them that they are already united with God. Contemplative prayer is nothing other than coming into consciousness of what is already there. I can give you quote after quote after quote after quote, and every one of them will break your heart. And yet I name names. Why? Because it's scriptural. when the Apostle Paul confronted Peter in Galatians chapter 2, when Peter, the disciple who fished with the Lord, who walked on water, who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," when that Peter fell to the hypocrisy of the Judaizers and figured, "Hey, okay, well, yeah, that's right. We were born Jews. I guess all the Gentiles need to become Jews too." Paul confronted him to his face, and not only that, even Barnabas, he says, was swept away by their hypocrisy, and he did not shy away from touching God's anointed. He said, "Look, Peter, you're wrong, and let me reason with you and tell you from Scripture why." And you know what Peter's response was? He didn't get all huffy-puffy and excommunicate Paul and ruin his reputation out there with the people he was warning. Peter turned around and said, "Oh, my God, forgive me. You're absolutely right." And how do I know that? Because at the end of the book of Peter, he talks about Paul, whose writings, like many of those in the rest of Scripture, the untaught and the unstable distort to their own destruction, as they do the rest of Scripture. Paul was not afraid to confront Peter to his face. You can read about it in 2 Timothy as well, where he confronted many others and named them by name. Why? In a time, people, where we now have internet communication and television and airwaves and all the rest of the means of getting this information out across the globe instantly, we can no longer afford to pussyfoot around and say, oh, don't say a name because somebody might be offended. They might like Kenneth Copeland. It doesn't matter that he said in the February edition, 1987, Believer's Voice of Victory, "My son, I never claimed I was God. Don't be too upset when they accuse you of thinking you're God. They made the same mistake about me. I never said I was God. I only claimed I knew God and walked with him." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People, good morning. Do the warnings of Jesus, another spirit, another gospel mean nothing to you? When the Lord told us, Peter warned us in Acts 20, he said, "Look, remember, I warned you for 3 years with tears, that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, not caring about the flock, and will devour and destroy and shred them." Savage wolves, he called these men. And if Peter had not turned around, guess which category Paul would have placed him in as well. By God's grace, Peter heard the word of admonition and rebuke from the Lord. The word of God is given to reprove, rebuke, exhort. It's that sword that is sharper than any two-edged sword, which we have now thrown away as irrelevant and immaterial and put to one side for a new revelation. It's no longer significant to the people of today. And so we can have Fred Price stand up and say, "Man is in the creation of God that is in God's class." I believe through these scriptures we can clearly see that God made man of God. You know where godhood was promised to man? There was a promise of godhood to man. The last time I read by Scripture, it was in Genesis chapter 3, and it wasn't God promising personal divinity. It was Satan making that offer in the Garden of Eden, where he first of all does what is the basis of all occultism. He says, "Indeed," to Eve, "has God said, you surely shall not die? You surely shall not eat of that? Oh, no. God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." That is the promise that is being made today, and we've seen it come through time and again, through the purveyors of secrets, which are nothing more than beautifully, brilliantly packaged occultism. That goes back to the Genesis chapter 3, Garden of Eden. And I guess if the negative confession people are right, and if those from the secret are right, and the negative thoughts you think that are going out in the universe, bring it to yourself, I guess the mess the church is in must be the Apostle Paul's fault. Because in 2 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul said the following, beginning in verse 3, "But I'm afraid for you, little children, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ, For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or a different spirit, which we have not given you, or a different gospel, which we have not spoken to you, he says, and this is a pretty accurate translation, you fools bear it beautifully. Wake up, church. We're being prepared for the coming of the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who will come returning now with the promise of personal divinity. You are God. You have the genie within you, and that is the ultimate kicker in the secret. You know what the ultimate secret is? You are God in human form. Oh, that Christians can read this and not stand up in rage. You are eternal life, it says on page 164, Lisa Nichols, co-author with Canfield, Chicken Soup for the African Woman's Soul, sitting there with her flaming sunset red hair, telling us, you are eternal life, you are God manifested in human form, made to perfection. Where Rhonda Byrne then picks up on it and says, you are God in a physical body, you are spirit in the flesh, you are eternal life, expressing yourself as you. You are cosmic being, you are all power, you are all wisdom, you are all intelligence, you are perfection, you are magnificence, you are the creator, you are the creating, the creation of your planet. People, that is blasphemy. The last time I read that many yous was written in the first person with Satan, where he says, I am, and there is no other. I will not turn my worship to God. I will not listen to what he says. I will be like one who is secure and say, there is no one beside me. The lament for Babylon and the judgment that came on Babylon was because the Babylonians, who are praised, by the way, as being great purveyors of the secret, they were nothing of the kind. For Pete's sake, they were the most vicious, violent, vile, bloodthirsty civilization on the face of the earth at that time. And their great wealth they took by conquest. But God in Isaiah 47 brings a railing judgment. And he says, they were sitting there, boy, I'll tell you, they were really good at doing the secret, you're right. They were sitting there saying, I will not sit as a widow, nor no loss of children. But the living God said to the Babylonians, who said, I am, there was no one beside me, these two things, widowhood and loss of children, will come upon you suddenly in one day, in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries, in spite of the great power of your spells. You felt secure in your wickedness. You said, I am, there is no one beside me. And God said, think again. I am God, there is no other. All others who sit back through Neil Donald Walsh or anyone else and say to you, I am God, is echoing the lie of Lucifer, who said at the highest throne of God, who led the worship before the Lord, and yet the lamentation taken up over him in Ezekiel chapter 28, where he says, the living God says to the prophet Ezekiel, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. When it's using this term here, it is spoken earlier in chapter 28 about a lamentation and a rebuke to the leader of Tyre. And let me start with the leader of Tyre first, because the king of Tyre was the spirit behind him, who is Satan. But to the leader of Tyre, another one who must have been really good at the secret, he says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you have said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of gods in the heart of the seas. Yet you are a man and not God, people. Although you make your heart like the heart of God, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. And he's speaking about all this wisdom they've accumulated and the riches they've accumulated. They manifested gold and silver all over the map, Dr. Stan. But then he says to him, by your great wisdom, by your trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your heart like the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, the most ruthless of nations, and they will draw their swords against your wisdom and your beauty and defile your splendors. Will you still say, I am a god in the presence of your slayer, though you are a man and not God, in the hands of those that wound you. Let those who have ears hear what the Spirit of God is saying to his people.
Well, I think that it's about time people realize that the things do happen over and over again. There's no instance in all history where a nation and the people of that nation have turned against God, where God has not eventually brought judgment on that nation. And this is something we should be very, very, very concerned about today. Look around and see what's happening and realize America has turned against God. Well, Johanna, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
There is a personal living God, separate and distinct from his creation, who has spoken and said it is good, and who has named us and knows us from our mother's womb. A God who is saying to you, still, I do not want you to perish, but you are separated from me. Do not let the Neil Donald Walshes and the Barbara Marx Hubbards, who are planning to wipe out those who stand in the way of the coming of their great new age, who feel that Christians who are saying things like this to you are by cancer growth something to be destroyed before we destroy the body, because we will not join in the one world religion and in the one world government that Maharishi Mahesh Yogi has long been talking about and predicting. There is a living personal God who, seeing as he is God, one of the perks of personal divinity is you do get to make the rules. There are two incontrovertible facts in the universe. There is a God. You are not he, but the living God who loves you sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come in the form of human flesh, God uniquely incarnate in human form, not the God who became the Christ at his baptism with the Holy Spirit as his personal spirit guide, the living God, second person of the Trinity, who became flesh, born through the Virgin Mary, who lived the perfect sinless life upon this planet in the power of the Spirit, that he might qualify as perfect God, yet perfect man, the only one ever, perfect God and perfect man, so that he might qualify as human to die upon a cross, to take the penalty of your, here is that terrifying word, sin, upon himself, and pay your penalty that is due you by his precious blood, so that you might indeed be called a son and a daughter of the living God. So those who, because of faith in Christ, he has given the right to be called children of God, this is the God who calls you, a God who calls you to walk by faith, not by manipulation, seeking to use faith as a technique of witchcraft to force his hand because you said it. Not a God who allows himself to be tweaked and torqued and ordered about like some genie and some waiter with a menu, but the living sovereign God of the universe.
Hold that thought for just a moment.
I love you. Come to me.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Johanna Michelson. Johanna, that was beautifully said, and thank you so very much for being with us, and I do hope that people all across America will want to get these two tapes and play them over and over again to begin to understand the true nature of the problem we face today. Thank you so very much for being with us. It was beautifully said and beautifully certainly laid out. It's so clear that I hope it will begin to open people's eyes.
Thank you, Doctor.
Good night, and God bless you. Well, that was Johanna Michelson. I do hope that many of you, of course, will get the two tapes and play them over. And Johanna really has laid this out. We were involved in a spiritual battle, and most people have no idea what's going on. They do not understand that these people worship a different God. And they believe that their God is far more powerful than the one that we embrace. It gets back to the old Gnostic beliefs, which of course are so increasingly prevalent today, and the average individual, even many of those involved on the other side, have no idea where these ideas come from. But I will tell you that if you tap into this other force, you will get prosperity, you'll get great benefit, you'll have all sorts of supernatural experiences, and you'll spend eternity in hell. So our plea to you is certainly look into the claims of Christianity, and if you already do not have a personal relationship with our Lord, why, just get down on your knees and ask Him to come into your life, ask Him to take over, because none of us are able really on our own to manage the terrible things that are going on today and even more terrible things that I fear lie ahead in this once great Christian nation that is turned against God, and I fear we'll soon see the wrath of God suddenly laid out upon this nation. Well, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you agree with our message, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We'd certainly appreciate your help. And then we want to remind you about our yearly conference, the annual Radio Liberty Conference held in the fall. And this year it's going to be on the 28th of October. It's going to be on a Sunday. And we have it that way because it's, many of our people can't come on the previous day. And certainly it's going to be the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. If you're going to be coming from another community, you'll certainly want to have hotel reservations, and we will be reserving rooms at a very nice local hotel, hopefully at a reduced rate. So, and then, of course, if you're going to come to our conference, and we're going to have a great lineup of speakers, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have a 4-tape set on The Secret Behind the Secret. We have a 4-tape set called The Supernatural that features Johanna Michelson. We carry her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, and her other book, Like Lambs to the Slaughter. And we certainly hope that you'll want to get this information. Of course, we have my talk on The Forbidden Secret. And what is that about? Well, it's really about this same struggle that's been going on for 5,000 years and again throughout history, why this new way of finding God has been introduced, but you're not finding God. You're tapping into the other dimension. And of course, the secret has been known by most of the great leaders of the world. And the reason that they've had their tremendous success or impact on the world is because they have tapped into the alternative source, not into the God of heaven, but of course into the Prince of Darkness. So that is the forbidden secret. There's a syllabus with it. It will help you to understand why we are at war in the Middle East today. The other videos we suggest, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning and Riddles in Stone. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle.